We're calling for judicial reform, of course, because the events of the last year and a half involving members of our Supreme Court and many others have raised really serious concerns about whether Pennsylvanians can obtain fair and equal treatment in our courts. Today, there are 12.8 million people living in Pennsylvania. More than 6.5 million are women, more than 2.3 million of them are non-white, and more than 270,000 of them self-identify as LGBT. All of them have reason for concern over the conduct exposed in the scandalous emails that we know now that judges, justices, prosecutors, and others in the legal system exchanged. We're here to speak about judicial reform, but in order to get to that point, we need to consider the emails, because while the media seems to have boiled it down to a pat description as a series of pornographic or offensive emails, it's much more of a problem than that. If you're a woman, a minority, LGBT, these emails reveal just how so many people charged with protecting you and your interests view you and talk about you in private. And tragically, it's the same way the people who make you feel unsafe in your home and streets view you, as an unequal, an object to be mocked, mistreated, and abused. I cannot tell you how many people I've talked to in recent days and months who have told me how frightened they were to see these emails that were shared and distributed by people of such influence and authority. Two Supreme Court justices who are now opting into unpunished and comfortable retirement, and dozens of others across the justice system whose participation endorsed and encouraged the attitudes reflected in those emails. Every year, Pennsylvania spends about $37 million in state and federal tax dollars directly to support victims of sexual assault and domestic violence. And the programs that provide those services struggle to privately raise and spend several times more than that. And they spend many, many hours trying to convince victims that they matter, that in this system they will find justice. They matter, and the law will protect them. Now, all of us have to wonder just where the point is when that's just not the truth. These emails are certainly pornographic or disgusting, as they have been reported, but what is worse is that they reveal an attitude, a disease still penetrating deep into our system and infecting it at its very highest levels. This is why we need judicial reform. Today, the Supreme Court has the remarkable and distinct power to appoint half the members who sit on the Judicial Conduct Board and on the Court of Judicial Discipline, and who the court chooses to appoint, who on the court makes the choice, and how the court reaches the decisions it makes is a secret for them to keep. Even worse than that, however, is the stark fact that in recent years, the court has reinserted itself directly into the process of overseeing and disciplining, or not, judges using what is called King's Bench power. That flies in the face of the very clear purpose and language inserted into our Constitution less than 30 years ago to prevent just such a thing. Despite the elevated status and deference we give to the court, the email conduct, plus the direction the court has taken with regard to judicial discipline, shows that it is just legal fiction to consider them less fallible to failure and equally blind to their own prejudices and mistakes, just as any other person would be. The court cannot be in the unique position of being able to choose its own judges in conduct cases. Senator Williams and I are proposing, with Senate Bill 1083, not to deny the court the opportunity to have the peculiar and special interests and concerns of judges adequately heard and understood, but to reduce the more than excessive opportunity it has to set and apply the standards for judging them, and to reinforce the ability of judging and disciplinary bodies to make fair determinations that the public, all of us, can have trust in. To maintain and restore confidence in the courts, we need to deal effectively with judicial misconduct at whatever level it occurs. Senate Bill 1083 would amend Article 5 of the state constitution, so we're talking about amending the constitution, to remove the Supreme Court entirely from the appointment process and to reduce the number of judicial members on the Judicial Conduct Board and the Court of Judicial Discipline, while increasing the number of lay member seats. It would also increase the independence of these bodies from the court in other ways. For example, the chief counsel for the disciplinary court would need to have not only 10 years of experience in law, but for the last 10 years would not be allowed to have worked for the Supreme Court, the Attorney General, or a district attorney, or served as a judge or as a magisterial district judge. It also would require an interim suspension with pay when formal disciplinary charges are filed, and an immediate interim suspension upon indictment for a felony. Depending upon the circumstances, the court could allow the suspension to be with pay. But as you can see, this is very different from the process that we followed in the last two cases. It would also prohibit the Supreme Court from exercising King's Bench or extraordinary jurisdiction in judicial discipline matters.